Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Reptile Radio fans, and welcome to the Friday, July 3rd, 2015 episode of Reptile Radio. It's a beautiful pre-4th day here on Long Island, and I'm stoked to help kick off America's birthday party weekend with all of you. Joining me today will be the legendary Brian Taylor, the man who put the BT in the Larry and BT show. So let's light this candle and get right to it. You needn't go far to get your double R. From the great state of Kentucky, my friend and yours, Mr. Brian Taylor.
What's going on, CK?
How you doing, BT?
No, I'm not bad. Not bad at all. How about you?
Yeah. All right, man. You know, it's gorgeous weather here. And we spoke last week this past week, because you were... You pipped a couple of babies over there from our breed alone season, which just sounds like it's going good. And, man, I'm talking to you on the phone, and it was hailing in Kentucky.
Yeah, it was. I heard you say you had beautiful weather, man. It's nasty here. It's been raining for about a week nonstop.
Really? And, talking to you, and you said there's, like, people were emptying their ice trays on out of the clouds. You said there was giant hail coming down. What was up with that?
Oh, man, that was last Tuesday, I guess? Me and you were talking,
so.
And it was raining, sprinkling, and out of nowhere, man, just hail just come, I mean, flooding down, man. It freaked me out. Lucky didn't tear my cars up, but, probably ice cube size. I mean, it covered my whole deck, man, probably half inch. It lasted probably for, I don't know, 5 minutes, but, I mean, it was coming down, freaked me out.
Man, I've never witnessed hail like that. I mean, here in the Northeast, I don't know why we don't get big hail. Like, we'll get hail once in a while, you know, like either pre-snow or post-snow, but we don't get it, like, in the summertime. That's the stuff that I just can't fathom. And I know other parts of the country get bigger hail than that and warmer weather than that, but... Very strange, very interesting. So, hey, man, we got some good stuff hatching. You know, we've been doing I'd say we probably had two or three shows just talking about what our breeding season was going to be like at your place. And, man, you got some good stuff hatching over there. Let's get a little wrap-up going. I want to hear about them again.
Yeah, well, a little conflicted. you know, I don't know if anybody's been keeping up, but been out of the game for a while and sort of got back into it, I guess, last year. And went and picked up a bunch of stuff from our buddy Larry Suttles, and you sent me some stuff, and Shane Whitaker sent me some stuff, and Nick Bowles sent me some stuff, and got it all settled in, and got it all feeding and all that kind of good stuff. And I guess the first clutch was that pastel. It's sort of a trip. It's a pastel I hatched out years ago, man. I actually bought a pastel from Ralph Davis way back in the day. I think I paid like $1,500 for the old girl. Raised her up and bred her and kept back the best looking one and raised her up. And I never could get the girl to do nothing for me. She'd always slug out. So I sent her over to Mr. Suttle's house. And I think he got a couple of good clutches out of her. But long story short, she's one of the girls that Larry sent home with me. And she was the first girl to go this year. And I bred her to your GHI Mojave. And as my luck would have it, she crapped out again, and I pretty much didn't get nothing out of that one. But I guess the coolest clutch I've had so far is Nick Bowles sent me a True Granite, and a gorgeous-looking snake, man, just gorgeous, and bred her to your GHL Mojave. Six-egg clutch, perfect clutch, and we smacked odds, man. We got two GHI Mojave Granites, a GHI Mojave, a GHI, and a Mojave and a Normal, I believe.
Nice.
Cool-looking snakes, now, man. They're absolutely cool. I post up some pictures on the forum.
Oh, yeah, man. If you could put some shots out. I mean, I know they just pretty much came out this week. So, but, man, definitely get a shot or two up of those because they're cool. I'm wondering if... I'm going to check World of Bull Pythons. Did you check to see if anybody hatched anything like that?
No, I haven't. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know what kind of price to put on the, put on them. I want to keep a couple and sell the rest. But I've been looking on Fawn. I've been looking on King Snake. Been looking on, Facebooks and this, that, and other. And there's not too many GHI Mojaves out there, man. And much less GHI Mojave Granites, so.
I'm
comparing with nothing. You know what I mean? They're not out there. I don't know if demand's out there where everybody's buying them up or what, but They're just funky looking, man. You'll have to check them out. I know I sent you some pictures, but I'll post them up on the board, get some people's opinions, and see what they think. But in my eyes, man, they're gorgeous, man. I don't want to sell any of them, to be honest with you, but you got to do what you got to do. But we'll definitely keep a pair of them anyway.
Yeah, man. No, you know what? The picture you sent me of just those two, and those are the only ones I've seen from the clutch, which is fine. But those are beautiful animals, and I'm trying to think. Like the GHI Mojave I sent you was really nice, that male, and but he didn't have all of that side pattern, right? Like these girls got, or these two have. It's
yeah,
a pair, right? The male and female.
Yeah, I got a pair. Yeah, I got a male and a female GHI Mojave Granites, and like you're talking about, they got them weird circle patterns on the side, like, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like Ralph Davis's Nemo or Gillespie's Super Paintballs. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's Charles Gillespie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Charles. Yeah, just
yeah.
It's a weird looking, but it's cool, it's definitely cool.
It's got more pattern than the regular, like the male I sent you. It's got a lot more pattern, right?
Right, right, right. They're not as, they're dark and they're black and they've got that stripe down the back, but they just got more pattern on the sides. And, of course, they got the clear white belly and all that good stuff. But they're funky, man. They're definitely cool. Definitely something to hold back and grow up and see what happens.
Yeah. You know what? I'm looking on the morph list right now, and I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I'm missing it because sometimes they label them under different things. But, yeah, I'm kind of doing that while we're talking here, and I don't see it. So it would be cool if it's a world first, man. That would be a lot of fun, you know, just for the fun of it. But
yeah.
You know, I'm not seeing it, man. I'm not seeing it. So maybe we
yeah,
did hit
something. Like I said, I've searched long and hard, and I can't find them. But it's definitely something to check out. I'll post up some pictures, get some people's opinions, and see if they like them or not, but I like them, so I guess that's what counts. But I got another clutch coming up here in about 2 weeks that I'm really stoked about. And it's another girl that Larry sent to me that I think that I either sold to him or gave to him. It's a lesser that I had years ago that she actually did good for me this year, did good for us. I bred her to your same GHM Mojave male, and she gave us 6 perfect eggs. So I'm stoked about that. I'm just curious, I don't know if anybody's ever hatched or not, but what would a blue-eyed Lucy GHI look like?
Well, I believe John Willard hatched those, in my recollection. I'm sure other people have by now, because that was a couple of years ago. And I think you got to blacklight them. You got to blacklight them to tell, you know, if it's mm-hmm. If the GHI is in there, because I believe you could probably see some faint pattern in there. But what I
right.
recommend, and I tell this to everybody that's hatching stuff that they're not sure about right away, is take pictures as soon as they come out of the egg, and then take pictures as soon as they shed, after that first shed. And
right.
a lot of times you could see stuff in a picture, because for some reason, man, those scales like reflect light in a different way than the light meets your eye when you're just looking at them. And
right.
And if that's the case, you can actually see things that you wouldn't normally see with the naked eye. So I really suggest you go, you know, go picture crazy on them and try to, you know, when they hatch, obviously. And hopefully we hit some combo. That would be so cool, man. Because I think that's... they're going to be
yeah,
white.
Yeah, they'd be a powerful breeder anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be white, and they're going to be tough to tell. So you kind of, it's good to know, you know, because in case, and I think my friend Scott told me this, Scott Wysocki mentioned that... sometimes with those, you know, I don't know that he's hatched any Lucy's, but I think he heard this from other people. They lose that. Like, the pattern kind of goes away. You can't tell later on. So you do want to take those pictures right away, and you want to try to get as many as you can. And I'm not saying all of them do, but I'm saying I know having hatched, like, last year, man, wow, Shane really knocked it out of the park. We hatched a lot of Lucy stuff last year. And, you know, there might be Orange Dream in it, and there might be Yellow Belly. And I'm talking, like, you know, Mojave Lucy stuff that Mojave lesser like Lucy stuff, which is exactly what you're kind of going to have over there, where there
right.
might be Yellow Belly in it and there might be Orange Dream in it. And man, you can't tell. You know, they got like they're coloring in differently, so you kind of have a feeling that it's in there. But I can't be proof positive, so you want to breed them out at that point. But I'm wondering if we would have taken some more detailed shots, even though he's got early shots, it was hard to tell. I'm hoping you'll be able to tell. Let's put it that way, because I think it'll be cool.
I hope so. I'm excited about that clutch. It's a lot of different combinations, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be a cool one to hatch out.
Yeah, man. And guess what? I'm pretty sure I read through all of the GHI combos, and there's no Granite Mojave GHI. So we might have
cool.
a world's first. That would be cool, man. Yeah, I'm stoked.
Cool.
So get some good shots so we'll post them up on WOBP, man.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And so that's cool. So now you got a bunch of clutches now. We still got two more from the GHI Mojave. And
yep.
and did any of your other balls go for any of the other males?
Nope. Nobody else went. Your little guy was the machine this year. I don't want to put blame on anybody, but just, you know, balls are finicky. You get to moving and this, that, and other. And I guess all that crap really happened about August, September. So the time I get everything settled, you know, it's just
yeah.
getting them settled, getting them eating and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to chalk it up to a little late in the season to get everybody going. But we're getting them. Still feeding them hard, and you know, breeding season's right around the corner, so we'll give her another go and see what happens.
Cool, man. That's great. Well, yeah, and I would imagine a lot of that is because of the move, because I know you know what you're doing. You're doing a great job over there. Now, you got the you were breeding a bunch of king snakes, right, this year?
Yeah, I got a few colubrids going. Got some extreme hypo Hondurans cooking in an incubator. I'm excited about them. Bought a pair of them, I guess it was about the same time last year. And I got a gorgeous pair, man, and she laid a good little clutch, got them cooking, and bought a nice little old group of Arizona Pyros, Applegate Specials. Got some hets, and got the visuals, and got some poss hets, and waiting on them guys to lay, but I'm excited about them, and we'll see what happens.
Nice. How much did you get? How many eggs did you get from your first girl?
She gave me 8.
Nice.
She gave me 8. Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. I love them. I love them Hondos, man. Love them Hondurans. They're easy
yeah.
snake. They're gorgeous. A lot of morphs, and still a lot to do with them things. They're not too terribly expensive, so you can afford to get a good group of them and you know, play around and make some cool stuff.
No, I totally agree, man. And they are beautiful, man. When those things first came out, I just remember how. They were awe-inspiring, all the crazy morphs, because the colors are so intense. Good for you, man. I'm stoked. Now, you've been cruising on the boards. I know you've been really busy lately, so you've been on the boards at all lately?
Yeah, I've been on there a little bit checking out some stuff. I guess the thing that really caught my eye was the old two-headed ball python, man. Did you check that out?
Yeah. Josh from Jay Royals hatched that bicephalic. It was like a pastel, which is a really, I mean, a cool-looking pastel, besides the, you know, obviously the anomaly of the bicephalism, which is pretty cool. Man, it's a nice, vibrant pastel, and I love the, like, it looks like the neck separates, like, a good piece down, but it's still attached by the skin in between, and it's like it's got the side patterns from both side patterns of the necks that kind of join together and makes those donuts down the middle between the two neck stripes. It's so cool-looking. I mean, I've seen some two-headed snakes where, you know, one head is a little less than the other head quality-wise. You know, it's messed up or something. And
right.
This one is like, it's pretty even between, and it seems robust. He says he got it to eat, too, which I thought was a nice piece of news. I mean, that's a great, can you imagine having something like that at your house, man? That's a pretty cool curio to have.
It is definitely cool, but I guess the question I have, do you have to feed both heads, or can you feed
yeah.
one head? And
Yeah, I don't think you have to, man. Yeah, I think you nourish the organism, you know, with either, it's going into the same gut and it's nourishing the organism. I don't think it matters. You know, I think if it was split, actually one, yeah, it's curious, but one dude, was it, I think it was Serpent's Den a while ago, hatched like a Siamese twin kind of thing that were attached almost like down by the cloaca.
Wow.
That was weird. So you
weird.
Would think that, yeah, that you would think with something like that, I would wonder if, I guess it's the same bloodstream, man. The bloodstream has to be attached. I don't know. That's a good question. I would imagine it depends how far down it's attached. If you're past the digestive system, is you know, is one would one outcompete the other, and would it really happen? I honestly don't know. My feeling is it probably wouldn't make a difference. It would probably, you know, it's the same blood supply and you know, nutrients that carry through the blood, so it would probably be okay for the other animal too.
But
But I
what
don't
I
think
mean,
that
what
one.
would happen when what would happen when you're feeding one head and the other one wants to eat too? I mean, do
Yeah,
you
I
have to feed
guess
them both
they.
at the same time, and they get the jawing, fighting after the same rodent that you're trying to feed them? You know what I
You
mean?
know, that's a great question, and what I would do if I was you, because I'd like to know too, is post it in that thread. Ask Josh, like, ask him to take some video of it feeding. It would be cool to
Yeah,
see,
that'd
like,
be
which
cool.
head is pursuing and which one takes dominance over the other, and if it's the same every time. Like, I'd wonder if,
Right.
like, one head, yeah, if it's, like, always dominant. Did you notice that that's, you know, that it's got one red eye?
Oh yeah, that freaked me out. That's definitely cool. Definitely cool. That's weird.
Yes, like the Terminator eye, you know, and like, you know, it's a four-eyed snake with one red eye, and the other ones look like regular, like green pastel, you know, pastel ball python green eyes, you know. Very cool animal, man. I'm stoked to see how if he can get it to thrive, you know, because I think he says he got it feeding, so I'm definitely gonna keep an eye on that thread, and I hope Josh keeps us updated with its progress, because that's a really cool thing. Now, let's see. Oh, you know what happened recently? And this is kind of, I called you last week and you said you were really busy, and then you called me back this week with the hatchlings, and I totally forgot. But I called you last week because Sean Bradley contacted me last week, and he wants us to be on his radio show. Turns out he's got a like a ball pythons only reptile show. And he
Okay.
wants to know if we want to be on it. Well, how do you feel about that?
I love Sean, man. I love Sean. Sean's a good dude. Done a lot of business with Sean. I'm down with it. I would love to
Cool.
do it.
Awesome. You know, I mean, I told him I definitely wanted to ask you first, because I didn't want to just obviously can't unilaterally make a decision for both of us, you know. But
Oh, yeah.
I told him, you know, because he asked for your number, because I think he lost your number after a while. And I said, you know what, let me just call BT and make sure it's cool with him, because I respect that, you know, that people want to make sure they want to talk to somebody. And I knew you knew Sean, and I know you guys are both Louisiana boys,
Oh
and I know
yeah,
you probably
good old
you're
boys,
tight like
huh?
that. Yeah, so then you know what, we're gonna do that show, man. What do you think? When
Yeah,
you
yeah. I
when's
hadn't talked to Sean in a long time, but Sean's been in the game for a long time, man. He's always been a great guy. Always had cool stuff going on. Balls. I know he got in the boas for a while. He's always done colubrids, and like I said, I've done business before with Sean. He's a good guy, honest guy. Be more than happy to do a show with him.
That sounds great. So then, you know what? I'm gonna give you his number, and you call him and tell him we're down for that, because I'm down for that too. Whenever, you know, whenever we could schedule it. So,
Cool deal.
but you know, because he did want to talk to you first, so I
Yeah,
want you to
yeah.
call him back. So you call him and
Yeah,
tell him
we'll
that,
catch up.
and then, yeah, we'll notify you guys on the BLBC boards. If we don't do another show before that show, we'll notify you guys on the boards when we do that show, so you guys can all check it out too. Because you know, maybe we'll even have Sean on our show again. What do you think, man?
Hey, bring him on, man. We'll catch up. And like I said, he's a good old Louisiana boy, man. What can go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong? That's a long
What can
list,
go
man. I don't
wrong?
think we have enough time on our show to cover that. But he's got a longer format, so you got to be prepared, man. You got to bring your chops for that one, man. There was no 45-minute and out kind of thing, you know. It's gonna be big.
You go. Bring it. Bring it. We'll get it on.
All right, sounds good. So hopefully you'll have some good questions. I'm curious as to what questions people are going to ask me and you. You know? Do you ever wonder that? Because, like, we're always asking the questions, right?
Right.
So, like, what are they going to ask us? It's going to be fu I think it's going to be fun to find out, and I'm sure Sean's going to do a great job with it. He says he's all set up. He built an actual studio in his place, so he's not doing this via any online support system like we use Blog Talk Radio. He's not doing that at all. He's got his own studio. He's got high tech equipment, and he's got the means for to crank out a
There
really good show. So
you go. There you go. First
should be fun,
class.
man. Yeah. So we're gonna do that. That sounds like a plan. Now, Yeah, now I don't know if you cruise the whole forum. I know you tend to stick to the BPs on the forum and the Kingsnake section on the forum, but this dude, Zach Spiker on our boards, he's been posting a lot lately. Anyway, he's got this looks like a Solomon, well, it is a Solomon Island ground bow, a Candoya Pulsoni, and I think he posted in the other boas section. And he's sitting there taking a picture of it, like pre-feeding time, because you know it was like poking its head out of its hide hole, you know. So he's taking a picture, and it's all S'd up in the first shot, and then you see the second shot, and it's a close up of the inside of its mouth. It like grabbed the phone, bit the phone while he was taking the shot. So that's pretty cool. If you guys want to see just a cool funky thing, you know, that's not like a run of the mill photo of here's my snake, go check out that thread. It's pretty cool. And a nice looking Candoya too. It's like a really light pink red phase one. And man, I had, you know, I posted in this thread. I mean, I had a bunch. I had a 2.2 colony of those that I sold way back in the day to Jerry. Oh geez, what's his name? Jerry in Florida. He's the Candoya king. And it'll come to me. I can't believe I forgot his name. But yeah, he bought my collection back then. I couldn't get him to breed. I mean, I could get him to breed, but I couldn't get him to reproduce. And Jerry Conway was his name. And I'm sure he's still kicking around. And yeah, he saw my collection and he wanted it. So I was like, you know what? You're the right guy to send him to. I wanted him to reproduce because I had four beautiful red phase ones that I collected over a couple of years. And man, I still haven't seen anybody post any that look as nice as mine were. And I just hope he's doing something with them and maybe got him to breed. Now, this dude, also, this was also in the BP picture section, Chris Jones UK. He's one of our board members. Posted this clutch. I think it was what do you call them, splashes or something? I should go check it out to see what the heck they're called. I can't remember them to save my life right now. My brain's a bit of a sieve. But no, they weren't splashes, sprinkles or something like that. Anyway, he got a clutch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, splatter balls. Jesus Christ, man! I can't believe I forgot that. So he posted this clutch from a splatter girl, and it's a cool clutch. He's got like six good eggs and a couple slugs in there. Well, one of the slugs is shaped like you know those Halloween gourds, those weird looking pumpkin looking.
Yeah.
It's got like a. You ever watch SpongeBob with the kids? It's got like a nose like Squidward on it. You got to go check that out because. If you know, everybody's had at least a slug or two. If you've never seen a weird-ass slug, this is the funniest-looking slug you're ever going to see. So go check out that thread. That's in the ball pythons picture section. I'm pretty sure it was in there, or it might be the breeding section. But either way, just go poke around on the boards, guys, and look for that thread. It's cool to see something weird, stuff like that. Now, hey, do you know this kid on the boards? His handle is Hi, I'm Steve Duh.
No, oh, yeah, he's been around forever and a day, man. Good guy.
Yes. Now, that's Steven Tillis. He's a really good kid. I mean, I know him from Tinley. Him and his girl used to hang out at our table a little bit when they were poking around the show. And really nice kid. Lives in, like, outside of Orlando down in Florida. And apparently, he took a trip to Togo, man. Did you see that picture thread in the Bull Python's picture section?
Wouldn't that be the ultimate trip, though? I mean, to actually go over to Africa and pick out your own stuff and bring it home with you?
Yeah, it would be.
I'm jealous. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm jealous.
Yeah, that's like the one trip that, you know, every one of us has probably dreamed of. Like, if you're into BPs like we are, every one of us has dreamed about making that trip. And God bless him, man. He got off his duff. He made arrangements and he got his butt over there. And did you look at the thread? Did you see all those pictures in the thread?
Oh, man, it's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was down in the zone, man. Ground zero for BPs. I loved it. It was beautiful to see that. Because look, a little bit of the out of the wild kind of like has gone away with BPs, right? Because they've been in captivity for so long, and it's like, you know, he kind of went back to the roots of it all, just to see what it's really about. And he's into like you know, he's like an environmentalist and stuff. So he's into the ecology side and the. And the, you know, and you know, all kinds of sustained use and things like that. Like, that's a passion of his. So he really liked it. He liked what he saw there, and he thought it was a really good sustainable use kind of program that they have there with the BP. So I'm gonna get him on the show. I definitely He's going to be a great interview. He's a smart kid, and he's really a good guy. And I want the listeners to get to know Steve a little bit better. He's into Bloods a lot. He breeds Bloods, and he's got some nice stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
I'm interested. What all goes into planning a trip like that? I mean, what kind of finances you got to have? What kind of shots you got to have? What kind of timing you got to have? How long does it take? You know, passports, all that kind of good stuff. But like I said, I'm jealous, man. I mean, that'd be for me a trip in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he looks at it that way too. I mean, you know, it's not the kind of thing you're going to do every year, and it's. I think he had a hook over there. Like he had, I think I read that in the thread, that he had a friend over there that's that kind of, you know, that's knew the ropes a little bit. So that definitely is a tremendous help. Because I'll be honest with you, man, you don't want to get off the tarmac in freaking Togo and say, okay, show me the bull pythons. You know, it's not like not like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it would be.
So, you know, that was a cool thing. And I definitely, if you guys haven't seen that thread, and, you know, some of our listeners don't go on the boards a lot, and I definitely recommend you just go on there even as a guest if you don't want to sign on. But go on there and check it out. It's a great thread. It's called My Trip to Africa, and then he's got Togo in parentheses, and it's in the Bull Pythons picture section. And, yeah, you're going to get a feel for what Steve's about. He's a really good guy, and I'm gonna get him on the show, man. He's into all kinds of conservation and stuff.
Yeah.
He'll have a lot to say, and he's also into, you know, we can even talk about Bloods a little bit because he's got some cool projects going at his place. So, now, man, I'm almost out of stuff to talk about. I mean, it's you know what, I wanted to do a show. It's been like way over a month since I did a show, and I was kind of like itchy to do one, but I'd just been bogged down with so many other things. And I think talking to you this week kind of got me off my duff, you know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, man. It's been a long time, and me personally, I've just been busy, man, busy with work and kids and life in general. But, you know, you start hatching out some cool stuff and sort of gets the excitement, the energy, the passion kick back in. And I guess my question to you is, what's the latest and greatest of the ball python morphs out there?
Well,
I'm still hooked on the bamboos, to be honest with you, but, I mean, what's the latest and greatest?
You know, I'm telling you, the bamboos really are beautiful. And there was a recent thread, somebody, there are actually some bamboos for sale, man, in our classifieds on the boards, man. So you might want to check that out. You know what else, what's not a BP thing that I think is pretty cool that's, it's becoming mainstream real, like way quicker than I imagined it was going to be, you know, is these albino freaking carpets.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They're gorgeous.
I
mean, when they hit the market, I mean, they were super duper expensive, but always a beautiful, beautiful snake.
Yeah. But now they come down a lot, and I'm looking at, there's something in the, in our classified section from your buddy Eric Burke, and he's got a female het, man, beautiful, and it's a jag, so it's pretty cool looking. So, you know, I mean, and it's very reasonably priced. So, I mean, you know, stuff like that. That's, you know, we always talk about how, yeah, you know, it used to be great when you used to get $10,000 for a snake, but now more people are into it, and it's easier for people to afford, and everybody can have it. And, you know, there's something to be said for both sides of that argument. But, yeah, I think that, you know, having that big yellow snake, man, is a really cool thing, you know. And
It is. I mean, people bitch and cry about prices coming down, but it, in my eyes, it sort of weeds out the people that just do it for the quick buck. You know, and the people do it because they like to do it. And I know Eric, and we've done business in the past. And he has grown an awesome collection of carpets, man. He's got all kind of carpets, and guy's great. But he does. He has the goods. He has some cool stuff.
Yeah. So you go check that out, man. I mean, even just the hat. You know, if you want the albino gene in your collection, just the hat. It's a beautiful jag. So, you know, I'm not coming on here trying to sell other people snakes, but at the end of the day,
right.
You know, I'm just saying that that's something, it's not really new, but it's definitely something that caught my eye. And I think that, you know, what kind of caught my eye was like, wow, I can't believe how affordable these are already, you know, and it's definitely tempting. So
Yeah,
anyway, so
and
that's how.
carpets aren't hard. I mean, carpets are good snakes. I mean, they thrive in captivity. They're not hard. They're not hard to get to breed. They're not hard to reproduce, and they're just all around good snakes. I mean, whether you're down with the jungle carpets or the Darwins or the Jags or the Coastals or whatever, you know, it's a bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. So it's gonna be more cool things out there, and it's kind of diversifies the shows too, and people are starting to say that too. Like reptile shows, it definitely there was that whole phase where, man, it was just a BP show for a long time, you know. And now it's starting to definitely mix up a little bit better, and I think it's definitely required. It was almost horrible that it was just, you know, geckos, you know, leopards and bull pythons for so long, and corn snakes, and everything's had its run its course, and it's almost like people are kind of settling into the things they want instead of like following the hot stuff.
Yeah, the
I
trend.
think.
I mean, it's like you're saying. I mean, it sort of got, I don't want to say boring, but you know, you go to all the big snake shows, Tenley, Daytona, you know, whatever, you know, but it was always the ball python show. And like you're talking about, I like diversity. I like to see the colubrids. I like to see the turtles. I like to see the lizards, the monitors, the carpets, the balls, the retics, you know, the boas. I'm more of a diversity kind of guy. You know, I mean, back in my heyday, I had a little bit of everything. It was like the Noah's Ark syndrome, you know, had to have a pair of everything. But, you know, I talked about it last time we had a show. I'm still trying to geared back into the Wamas and the Blackheads. That's probably what I miss.
Cool. Well, you'll have your shot soon enough, man. I'm sure you'll have some cool stuff to sell, and then you can kind of, you know, buy into other things that you want to get into and have your fun that way. It's gonna be cool, man. I'm happy that someone else is feeling that way too, because it's a good thing. I mean, I know my friend Scott's been getting into boas lately, and he's got some gorgeous boas, and it's so much cool stuff. And it's really, you know, when you step away, like you stepped away from the Hondurans for a little while, and you stepped away from the king snakes, and then you come back, you know, and it's like, man, you know, some of it moved along, and some of it kind of stayed where it was, but it's all still so cool. And you ask yourself, wow, why did I put this on the back burner for so long? I really like this stuff, you know. So it's cool.
It is. I think that's probably the biggest thing is, you know, people get caught up in the trends and, you know, what's cool and what's hot. And my whole thing is just, you know, buy and take care of and breed and raise up and take care of what you like. You know, if it's corn snakes, if that's what floats your boats, then, you know, do what makes you happy. You know, that's what's going to keep your interest and then keep you going in the hobby.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I got one thing I'm doing this year that I've never done, and I'm stoked that I'm doing it. And it's my African project. It's like a project girl out of Africa from, like, I don't know, I think she's either 07 or 08, and I forgot now, I'm a little fuzzy, it's one year or the other. And she's going again this year. She's the only, I only put two girls together this year, and the other one doesn't look like she's going to go, and she's going to go this year, and I'm going to let her sit her eggs. I've never done that.
Really?
You ever do that? Yeah.
I've never done that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so I want to do something different, you know. It's like, because normally, I mean, I'm breeding a bunch of stuff, so I'm running the incubator, you know. This year, I'm like, I'm not turning on the incubator. I'm going to let her sit her eggs, because she's the only one who's going to go anyway. And even though I'm doing a couple things at your place and a couple things at Scott's place, you know, I'm not breeding a ton of stuff, because, you know, the market slowed down a little. There's no reason to breed a ton of stuff, but you want to move your projects forward that you want to do. So,
sure.
I'm going to do that, and I think that's going to be really cool, and I'm going to do my best to, like, you know, take pictures and stuff along the route, you know, and see and actually experience this. And she used to be right in the center of the rack, and I've slowly been moving her higher up in the rack so she's less disturbed by people's heads walking by, you know.
Does it make you nervous, though? I mean, when you're not in total control of temps and humidity and all that kind of stuff, does the natural incubation, does it make you nervous?
In a way, it does, and then you know, you have to talk yourself into the fact that, you know, God's been doing this for, you know, long before we have, and even though, you know, she doesn't get to choose her whole environment, she's picked a spot in the tub where she likes, and she's kind of right on the heat, and the heat tape's set at 89, so she knows what she's doing, you know. And she's picked her spot, and she looks like she's going to lay there, and she's, I'm pretty sure I checked her card the other day. It was July 3rd was her post. Ah, let me grab the card. Hold on, it's right here. Let's see. Yeah, shed 6-3. So she shed 6-3. She should be, no, it must be, what month is this? Yeah, 6-3. Holy crap, my brain's fried. So she's going to lay any day, you know? I mean, she'll probably go a little late. All my girls go late. But actually, I haven't even popped the tub today. But she's going to go soon. And I'm going to, you know, I've been changing her tub regularly, so it's always clean in there.
Right.
You know, so she's not going to lay her clutch in a mess. But you know how these things are, like right before they're going to lay. There's nothing comes out of them but those little tiny urates, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they always put them, they poop them in the corners so that they don't crap up where they're going to lay. They're amazingly
right.
Brilliant, these things. Like, people just don't give these animals credit. You know, they're just not willy-nilly making a mess when they know they're going to be dropping a clutch of eggs. So, like, as they get towards the end of this, you know, post-ovulation cycle, and even, before they even have their post-op shed, they start to put the little tiny bits of urates at a time, and I guess they're conserving moisture because, you know, they're building eggs, and eggs need albumin, and you need to have a lot of water to make an egg. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, 100-gram egg needs a lot of water. So, so they conserve moisture, and they're basically making these little tiny piles of urates because they haven't really been eating for a while either. And she's been doing all of that, but I'm still just keeping her tub completely spotless. Twice a week I've been changing it, you know, making sure it's clean, so when she lays it's going to be cool. And if I can, I'm going to swap out some white paper because everybody's on newspaper right now, but I'm going to put some white paper in there to make it easier to take pictures, you know. So it'll be good. A couple of years ago, I used to use the white paper all the time, and one guy accused, he asked, are your snakes laying eggs in the Apple store or something? They were all on a white background. I'm like, no, I'm not picking them up and moving them. I was just using, like, old architectural drugs. I used to use the back of the sheets, you know, for the tub.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm gonna set that up for her if I could do it before she lays. And I haven't looked in there today. I better start paying attention now because it's been a month now today. I just realized that. So that's gonna be cool. And then, you know, I'll try to keep you guys informed as to how that's going. And I know some of the people out there have done once in a blue moon. Somebody posts a maternally incubated clutch. You know.
Hey, check this out. I got a story for you. You know Anthony, right? Anthony,
yeah.
From New York, moved down here to Kentucky probably 12, 13 years ago.
Yep.
So me and this guy, we do a lot of fishing together. We swap snakes back and forth, and good old guy. Anyway, so he calls me up about 2.5 months ago, and he says, hey, man, I'm out here mowing my yard, and I come across this clutch of eggs. And he sends me a picture, and he says, what do you think they are? Do you think they're corn snake eggs? And I look at them, and they're round. I mean, they're round like little ping pong balls. And I say, no, I don't think they're corn snake eggs. I said, you know, in my previous experience, corn snake's egg they're more oblong. They look like hog snake eggs. They're round. So he doesn't think nothing of it. And I say, you know, put them in the incubator and see what happens. And he shoots me this picture, and he says, hey, man, the first one's starting to pip. You think I ought to cut them open? And it's like, heck yeah, man, cut them open, see what you got. And it's an albino. And he says, I can't tell what it is, but it's definitely albino. I mean, it's like white and red and got red eyes, and I think it's a corn snake. So he sends me a picture, and I'm like, yeah, that's a corn snake. And I said, go ahead and, you know, cut the other ones open. And I said, how many did you start with? And he said, well, you know, when I found them, it was like 10, and a couple went bad, and I think I've got like 8 left. And he cut open all of them, all 8 of them, and every one of them are albino corn snakes. And he lives out in the country. I mean, he lives out in the woods. What are the odds of all 8 being albino corn snakes? And I asked him, I said, have you ever, you know, let go some corn snakes? He said, no, I've never kept corn snakes before in my life. I'm a boa guy. I'm a python guy.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
That's unbelievable. And 100% hetero, I mean, homozygous for albino.
Homo.
That's crazy.
Every one of them are albinos. Every one of them. It's weird.
And they're definitely corns, and you know what? I wonder if they're like a. I mean, you guys got rat snakes out there, right? Like black rats.
No, we got rats, we got corns, we got hogs, we got everything. But I mean, every one of them are albino. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, they are. They look like.
You know, got to tell. Ask Anthony to post that, man. I mean, he's like, what's his Rihanna's Herps or something? Is the name is.
Yeah.
Ask him to post that, man. I mean, he listens to the show, so he'll probably hear us give him a shout-out on here now. Anyway, hey, Ant, what's going on? But, yeah, definitely ask him to post a picture, because I'm thinking they're not corns. I'm thinking they're probably like black rats, and that's why, you know, he didn't think they were corns in the first place. But are they more like yellowy or more like reddish, the albinos?
No, they're red. They're red, orange, white. I mean, they've got...
They sound like corns.
I don't want to say the typical corn snake pattern, but they're weird. I mean, weird.
Yeah.
It's my whole thing is, I mean, what are the odds of every one of them being albino? You'd either have to have albino to albino or albino to head and have some hellacious odds.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
or head to head and have some really hellacious.
I mean,
you know,
CK, this guy lives out in the country. I mean, it's not like a subdivision like I live in where, you know, little Jimmy says, hey, I don't want my snakes anymore and just turns them loose.
Yeah.
And this guy lives out in the woods, out in the sticks. I mean, what are the odds of that?
Not good. You know, we have been trying to teach little Jimmy not to do, you know, let my snakes go in the backyard stuff, right? So we're not promoting that on Reptile Radio. But the
truth is, not at all. Give them to me, I'll take them.
Exactly. I mean, find somebody who'll house them. But, that is a great story. And I'm really stoked that happened to Anthony because he's a good guy. You know, he's a squirrel trying to get a nut, like my friend George Sampson says all the time. And that's
there
a nice story. And it's funny that they weren't oblong. See, that's what's making me think they're not corns is that maybe they are black rats.
Yeah.
And I would expect them
to
look the same, right? When you expect all of these... a Laffy type critters to look the same. They're not a Laffy's anymore. Didn't they change the name on those now?
I have no idea. To be honest with you, I don't keep up. I'm like you, though. I mean, when I saw them, I was like, man, they ain't corns. There's no way. I mean, they're too round. I mean, they were perfectly round, like little golf balls.
Yeah, first
like,
I thought
know,
this
hey,
was
going
to be a turtle egg story when you started telling it, you know? But I know turtles bury their eggs, and then I scrapped that. I mean, I'm hearing this for the first time, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, you got turtle eggs. That's cool, but they're not above ground. Turtles don't lay eggs above ground. Then I'm thinking maybe they were hogs. I've never seen hog snakes' eggs in the wild, but I would think that don't hogs sit their eggs? I don't even know. You know better than me. You used to breed hogs, right?
To be honest with you, dude, I've never seen snake eggs in the wild, period. I mean, he, like I said, got there mowing the yard and, whoa, almost ran him over with a lawnmower and, hey, look what I got. It's like, man, you're lucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's total luck.
Crazy.
Total luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the guys on the boards had it was in the King Snake section or the Colubrid section. I got to go look at that. He had these, this gorgeous pair of albinos that were wild-caught albinos and... they were sent to him from a friend, and they were caught 30 feet away from each other, and they're both albinos, and they're Florida, not Florida Kings. It's the other Florida snake that I can't for the life of me. Man, I'm really having a hard time today remembering things. I just try to remember too much stuff, I guess. They were, what are those Florida snakes that look like kings? Scarlets. Scarlet snakes?
Really?
The Florida scarlets? Dude,
yeah,
a wild...
Yeah, albinos?
A wild pair of albinos that he said his friend caught. Oh, it was Mike Fesden. Mike Fesden on the boards, who breeds all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, he's definitely not like your prototypical breeder. He'll breed any kind of weird thing because he's into that, you know, weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it's weird. It's just cool. So anyway, go check that out. It's in the Colubrid section, and the thread is called Albino Florida Scarlet Snakes. And I've never seen albino scarlets, period, but somebody actually caught them 30 feet away from each other in the wild.
Oh, I bet they're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous. Go look at the thread. You're going to love it. And I think he got a clutch. So that's my shout out to Mike Fesden. I think Mike breeds garters too, the fancy garters, the way our other buddy does, who's been on the show too much. I'm not going to say his name. And I'm giving Mike a shout for a change. So anyway, check that out if you haven't. And man, you know, we wound up filling up a show, man. We had nothing to talk about except our couple of world's first babies that... I think we hit world's first babies, too. we found out some cool stuff
that
today,
would,
brother.
That'd definitely be cool, man. I'm gonna post up some pictures and get some people's opinions. And if you like them, cool. If you don't, hey, that's all right, 'cause I do.
Yeah, I love them, man. And they're definitely different from the regular Mojo GHI. So there's something in there, dude. I'm stoked. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I guess you did too. And you know, hope all the listeners out there are going to have a great, safe 4th. Please, you know, include the word safe in your 4th of July and have a lot of fun, you know, without getting hurt. And God bless everybody. And BT, you want to take us out?
Hey, man, it was great. Had fun. And I'll give old Sean Bradley a call and get that show lined up. And other than that, had a good time. We'll do it again. See you.
Sweet.